Of creation as opportunities to serve, then this world is a place of liberation. But if we see this world as a place to control, to exploit, to enjoy without connection to God, this forest of enjoyment. There will be enjoyment sometimes, but we don't know what will come next. And we were explaining how great souls see the potential in all of us to become spiritually perfect. And their ability to see that within us is actually our greatest qualification. Srila Prabhupada was asked, what was our qualification? To learn about Krishna and to learn about Sri Radharani, the very supreme abode of all devotion and love. To learn about Goloka Vrindavan, the highest realm of sweet love in the spiritual world. To learn about Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna in the bhav, the love of Radha, to taste it, to distribute it. What is our qualification to receive? Srila Prabhupada, with utmost humility and honesty, he answered. He said, you have no qualifications. And he's speaking to all of us. He said, I made your qualifications. How did he make our qualifications? Because he saw the potential within us. He didn't see us as being male or female or old or young or black or white or red or yellow or brown. Or he didn't see us as being Christians or Hindus or atheists or agnostics or Christians or Jews. He didn't see us. In any of these relative ways, he dealt with our relative conditions. He was very practical. We have to deal with the situation at hand and be relevant to a person's particular situation. Just like he spoke English to us. He didn't speak Bengali. Because we only knew English. He quoted his answer, then he would tell us what it means. So we have to be very sensitive to be relevant to a person. But for what purpose? vidyadanaya sampane brahmani kavihastini sunichayava svapapicha vandetasana darshana. The real wisdom is to see everyone with equal vision. To see that everyone is very dramatic effects. Everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone is a child of Krishna. Everyone inherently is a lover of Krishna. What we have forgotten. One time Srila Prabhupada was asked by some very challenging reporters, media reporters. They said, why have you come to our country? We have our own religion, we have our own culture. Why have you come? Srila Prabhupada answered, he said, I have simply come to teach you what you have forgotten. Ananda Mano Vyasa. Everyone's looking for pleasure. The true pleasure that the heart, the soul is looking for is the pleasure of our eternal, ecstatic, infinite love for Krishna and to feel Krishna's infinite love for us. That is the origin of all pleasure. That is our potential. To be an instrument of that love in everything we do, everything we say. But we have forgotten. And in that forgetfulness, in the dream of illusion, we're trying to find happiness in so many ways. Endlessly being distracted. Srila Prabhupada gave us Krishna's holy name. Because he had realized the power of Krishna's names to open our hearts, to cleanse our minds, and to awaken the true potential of love within us. And because he saw that infinite hope that we had, he convinced us. Paul wanted all of us to do for each other and for the world. To see that potential. However many layers of conditionings, however many layers of ego, however many layers of pious or sinful desires and attachments and aversions, within all of us, is that potential? It's crucial. I will tell you a couple stories about how Lord Chaitanya taught this principle. With your permission. Senior God Brother is sitting before me. When Lord Chaitanya was in the South Indian tour, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he tells us how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he distributed ecstatic love of God like at no other time. He was simply giving it everywhere, to everyone. When he was in the Karnataka area, Maharashtra, between Maharashtra and Karnataka. There are two incidents, some of his biographers explain, that are very, very interesting. One, he came to a temple. And this was a temple of very deviant, manipulative, evil people. And they had their temple, and they attracted people to come in the name of God and purity and religion and their purpose was to exploit them. Especially young girls. They would convince these young girls to leave their homes, leave everything behind, and get married to the deity. Convince them that this is the ultimate perfection of life. We are the representatives of the deity. And the deity has called you to marry them. And then they get married. They thought they did. And then they are, now if you do not listen to what we say, it is a great opera that you will suffer. And they had these young girls stealing. They had them engaged in prostitution. They had them engaged in plundering, in violent activities, sometimes even murderous activities. You know, these are the kind of people the anti-cult movement really write a lot of articles about. But this was happening 500 years ago in South India. And at first, do you like this story? At first they were feeling really guilty, but they didn't know what else to do because they were abandoned. These people were they were either slaves. But as the years went by, all their guilt, all their shame completely was washed away. That's what happens when the heart gets hard. That even the cruelest, most evil, most malicious things, we don't even think there's anything wrong with it. Because that feeling of guilt is actually our own conscience, the conscience of our soul, the conscience of Paramatma. But when we repeatedly ignore it, we don't even hear it anymore. We don't even have a conscience. We can do anything and justify it without a second thought. That was their condition. Lord Chaitanya heard about them, and he went to the temple. These ladies were called the Muraris, because they were supposed to be the brides of God. So Lord Chaitanya was there, and Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi, but he was extraordinarily beautiful. He had Srimati Radharani's complexion. And the great biographers explain his eyes were like full-blown lotus petals. His eyes were so big, and they were filled with so much love that they went almost to his ears in a lotus shape. His nose was like a fresh blossom of sesame. And his lips were like a fresh bimba fruit. It was so beautiful. His complexion was radiant like molten gold. So these young girls, they had never ever seen anybody so beautiful as Lord Chaitanya. So they were looking at him really with a desire to exploit and enjoy. And Lord Chaitanya looked at them. He saw their spiritual potential. He saw that they were his own beloved children. They were Krishna's eternal loving servants. And seeing their lamentable condition, Lord Chaitanya started to cry. everybody hated them. Here is this man looking at us with such love. Not selfish love to exploit us. Love because he really cares. He's crying because he sees our condition. When they saw Lord Chaitanya's tear-filled eyes gazing upon them with such affection, with such compassion, with such pity, something happened. Suddenly their hearts started to soften and they realized all the terrible things they were doing and they felt so guilty, so shameful. And they realized, here is the first person we ever met who really deeply cares. And they fell at his feet and begged him, please save us. Save us from all the atrocities, the sins and the karmas that we've done. And Lord Chaitanya said, I want to teach you how to be a real consort of Krishna. We're all ultimately prakriti. We're all Krishnas. We're all meant to love Krishna and be loved by Krishna. He gave them the holy names. He taught them how to live with character, with integrity. He gave them the courage, the strength, and the blessing to leave that place. And they became saints. They started going around and giving pure devotional service to everyone they met. How did that happen? Same principle as Srila Prabhupada in 26 Second Avenue, or Frederick Street in Hayashbury. Lord Chaitanya, he believed in what we could be, and he reminded us, and he cared. But Lord Chaitanya continued traveling a little further, and he heard about a gang of dacoits. Thieves, robbers, and murderers, who care nothing about life. They just care about what they could get. It's really unbelievable. There are so many people like that in the world today. No conscience. It's just about me. When the ego, when you feed the ego and infatuate it in this way, I am mine. Nothing else really matters except how I can prosper and enjoy and control. I was recently with a very, very prominent person from Wall Street before the collapse. And he was telling me he was with some of the biggest, most influential people in Wall Street before that collapse. He interviewed them. He wrote a book about his interviews. It's shocking what they were saying. These people were billionaires. They were the CEOs, the presidents of a massive investment company. And they were saying, we don't care how many people suffer. We don't care what we do to the rest of the world. Business is business. We're here for ourselves. It's that consciousness that has caused all this economic strife all over the world. Greed. Senseless, heartless egoism. I'm the controller, I'm the proprietor, I'm the enjoyer. It doesn't matter. Life is meant to fulfill those purposes. And if there's some casualties all over the world to fulfill my purpose, what's business? Anyways, these men, they weren't wearing Wall Street clothes. They were dacoits. And the leader, the chief, his name was Nalroji. He was a very evil man, extremely powerful. He had a whole army of murderers and thieves with him. And they obeyed his every word. They would invade entire towns and plunder it, and wouldn't tolerate anyone standing in their way. And he had his headquarters in the forest. So Lord Chaitanya asked where he was. And people said, no, no, you don't want to go there. He said, no, I'm going. He said, no, don't go, you're sorry. He said, they will steal, they will take anything from anyone. Lord Chaitanya said, but I'm a Swami, what do I have to steal? He said, you don't know these people. They are so addicted to the smell of bloodshed, even if you don't have anything, they will. My beloved God sister Yamuna Devi passed away last year. She was in 1971, in the end of November, December. Actually, I was living in Vrindavan at that time. And she was Prabhupada was, the devotees were staying at Shara Lama, near the main road. And Srila Prabhupada was sometimes staying in his rooms in Radhadamodar Temple. And sometimes she would go really early in the morning when Prabhupada was chanting his japa and translating. And she would go alone and sit outside his room. And he knew she was there. And he called her in. He said, how did you come? She said, I walked. In the dark? She said, yes. She said, it's very dangerous. She said, but I don't have anything. He said, these dacoits, they will kill anyone for a simple lota. Water bottle. There are people like that. So Nalroji was like that to the extreme. So Lord Chaitanya went right into the heart of his community. And he sat under a tree. And people, you know, his guards, his army, they all had weapons, swords, spears, axes. Who was this? They wanted to kill him. Lord Chaitanya gazed at them with so much affection. They couldn't, they didn't have the heart to hurt him. So they went and told their chief that there's a Swami here. So the chief was very upset. Who is it? There is no trespassing here. Why is he here? So he told his guards, bring him here to see me. He's very angry. Nalroji is calling for you. Come. You must come. But by that time, Lord Chaitanya, his eyes were closed and he was in ecstasy remembering Krishna, chanting Krishna's name. So he didn't hear them. But they don't know what is ecstasy or samadhi, so they thought he was ignoring. So they went back and he said, he refuses to come. He is ignoring your command. So he picked up a sword and a spear and came charging out, angry as fire. How dare this rascal Swami not obey my order? And at that time, Lord Chaitanya opened his eyes and he looked at Nalroji with such affection. He wasn't seeing a murderer, he wasn't seeing a thief. He was seeing a pure soul. a part of Krishna, a lover. And he was also saying all the egoism and greed and lust and arrogance that was covering that pure treasure of devotion. And was gazing with so much affection and so much pity that the chief of the dacoits, he was completely disarmed emotionally. He didn't know what to do first. Nobody ever looked at him like that. So he said to Lord Chaitanya, he challenged him, "What are you doing here? Why are you here? Do you know who I am? Why are you looking at me like this?" And Lord Gauranga replied, he said, "I see in your heart," he said, "I see that you have a treasure in your heart, and you've forgotten that treasure. And therefore you're running around trying to get this wealth and this power. And I see a treasure in your heart that all the world wants to have."
Thank you.
explain to him the principles of how a Vaishnava lives. And then Lord Chaitanya was about to leave. And Narodi said, I want to come with you. But Lord Chaitanya shook his head no. And Narodi realized that he was still wearing gold and diamonds and rubies and emeralds and silks, all this, you know, different stuff that he stole from people. So he was the chief, he was like a king living in the jungle. And he took it all off, gave it all away, took all his clothes, ripped them up, and just put on an old piece of cotton for a garment. And he said, Now I no longer identify with my past life. I'm following you. And Lord Chaitanya didn't say anything. He just left. And he followed him. And he went with Lord Chaitanya. He saw Lord Chaitanya chanting and dancing and meeting so many people and transforming so many incredible experiences and miracles of love. He went to holy places with Lord Chaitanya. And sometime later, he was an old man. I believe he was in his 60s when he got Lord Chaitanya. And he got sick on the journey. And he was dying. And as he was dying, Lord Chaitanya called him. And Lord Chaitanya took his head and put it on his own lap. And with tears of affection, chanting Krishna's names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And this person gave up his life gazing upon the beautiful face of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, hearing Mahaprabhu's chanting the holy names. You attain the ultimate perfection, Goloka Vrindavan. What was this qualification? Lord Chaitanya saw that devotion to Krishna, and with his compassion and conviction, reminded him. When the Lord was going through Jarikanda Forest, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, one physicist that came on the path, and there was a full-grown Bengali tiger sleeping on the path.
Not for most of us.
You don't wake a sleeping tiger. Well, Lord Chaitanya went right up to that tiger and put his foot on the tiger's head and kicked him. Very loving kick. And the tiger woke up, looked up at him, Lord Chaitanya. Well, that's really the ego of a tiger. There's somebody to kick him when they're sleeping. So Lord Chaitanya looked at that tiger with such affection. And Lord Chaitanya said, rise and chant Hari Hari. And what could the tiger do? Lord Chaitanya said it. He wasn't speaking to his tiger senses. He wasn't speaking to his tiger brain or mind or intelligence. He was speaking to the eternal soul, which is beyond any see. And the tiger was so much affected by that love, by that impression, that he raised his paws, he got on his hind legs, and started chanting, Hari! This was not made for tigers, this my tears were pouring from his eyes and all his hairs. The tiger had a lot of hairs, they were all standing on end. Lord Chaitanya
and they did the same thing to packs of wild elephants.
Isn't that a beautiful story?
So many tigers were following on one side and so many deer on the other. And tigers and deer are natural enemies. For obvious reasons, tigers eat deers. So therefore, deers are 24 hours a day in fear of tigers. Fear of tigers don't look at the deers and say, oh, they look so nice. He's innocent. You see them and they just see tasty flesh and blood. Well, Lord Chaitanya saw that there were tigers following deer's trunk. And he turned around and told them all to chant, Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
And they all started chanting, Hari Hari. Awakened within them such a deep spiritual state when they chanted Hari Hari that each deer paired off with a tiger and they danced together. And then each tiger and deer embraced. And according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, each tiger and deer kissed each other. Chaitanya saw this, he smiled and he was so happy that the tigers and deers were now loving friends, more than loving friends. Their kissing was an expression of pure spiritual love, something that we can't imitate. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this, he smiled and he recited a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the land of Vrindavan, because Krishna is residing with Sri Radha, Sri Madhava, because everyone wants to please Krishna, because everyone is attracted to Krishna, everyone loves each other. There may be competition for the purpose of creating an intimate dynamics within the service of Krishna. But even the competition is steeped in deep respect, affection, and love. Everyone is a well-assured effort. And the Bhagavatam tells even the ordinarily inimical animals of the forest are lovers when they're conscious. So this is actually what it means to be Krishna conscious. Sometimes we have a very shallow conception that yes, I'm a Vaishnava. Yes, I am Krishna conscious. What it means to be Krishna conscious, what it means to be a Vaishnava, very exalted. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that the highest position anyone could ever attain is the title Das, which means servant. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, higher than conquering the world, higher than elevation to the upper planets, higher than all the eight mystic cities where we can perform miracles and live practically forever, higher than liberation from all suffering, bondage, and dualities, is Das. To serve God.
Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's assistants, they did. At the time of initiation, they give the word Das.
Even our parents, when children are born, we give the name Das. So does that mean that when we take initiation, or when we get this title, Das, servant of Krishna Das, or Radha Das, Devi Das is the same? Does that mean we have attained the highest position? Beyond liberation. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way. We still have the same struggles as everybody else. We're kind of past and not asking. What does that mean? That means I'm sure Prabhupada will give us initiation when we get that title. He's opening the doors to give us the chance to actually attain that. But it takes sincere dedication, sincere surrender to the spirit of bhakti in every aspect of our life to actually realize it. What it means to be a lover of Krishna. To love means to serve. With no selfish motivation. Our Lada Visaki was asking about how she can make spiritual progress and balance her life and realize her potential. She said all this after she told us all that she's having a baby. The baby's somewhere inside. And if you see a child as Krishna's child entrusted in your care and take serious responsibility on behalf of Krishna to nourish that child with Krishna's blessings and create a conducive environment for that child to physically, emotionally, and spiritually grow, that takes and selfish service. The love of a mother is very unselfish. It may still be on the material platform, but it's very unselfish service. Swamis, we observe. We try to keep a distance. Class, everybody's enjoying, and the baby cries, and everyone looks at the mother like, "You're not supposed to be." And the mother goes, she gets up and runs out. Sometimes all night, sometimes mothers tell me, "It's so hard to chant because sometimes my baby keeps me up all night long." Not to speak of, you know, they, when they're babies, they don't know how to use toilets or anything like that. They don't even know how to go out in the field and dig a hole in the ground. They're most they just do it. You know, they're doing it for the mother. She's the sanitation department. Don't get paid. And very, very seldom does the father ever appreciate it. The male ego, the female ego, it's like that. I can't tell you how many ladies, like, my husband just doesn't appreciate anything I do. I'm taking care of his children, I'm cooking, I'm taking. I talk to the husband, "Don't you care?" "Yes, of course I care." "Well, you really care?" "I care so much. I appreciate so much." "Do you ever tell her?" "Why should I tell her?" Communication is very important. Wars start because of communication gaps. Because
speak of wars in the house. Wars of the country. Wars of the planets. So if we're being a mother on behalf of Radharani and Krishna, for their child, it's a caretaker. They do it right. The more we have love of God, the more we can give our child. So that's the motivation for us. You can't give what you don't have very well. I love my child. I want to liberate this child. So I have to take shelter of the holy name. I have to somehow or other moderate my anger and my emotions in such a way to give this child the best. I need to be listening to these classes so I have the right perspective. Otherwise, what can I give? So to be a mother, to be a father, to render that selfless service was spiritual interest as well as the physical and emotional interest of a child. The process will make us perfect. Because we're so motivated to access that grace within ourselves so that we can administer it. So the beautiful examples of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually playing the role of a devotee to teach us how to be devotees. These beautiful examples we cited this morning in the singing of Sri Prabhupada and other great acharyas. Acharya means to teach by example. We can't imitate, but they have these qualities. And if we just think, well, Prabhupada, that's Prabhupada. And we're just followers. Prabhupada's behaving like that to teach us how to behave. We can't imitate. But we have to follow in the footsteps. Mahajaya Yengatasapanta, that's the path of perfection. So to emulate the spirit, even in a small way, sometimes Prabhupada will tell us, just do as I am doing. 70 years old, starting an international movement with nothing, going around the world 12 times, writing all these Sanskrit translations. We can't do that. No, the spirit of putting the water in the root of the tree. Pleasing Krishna and knowing that the greatest thing that pleases Krishna is being an instrument of His grace to inspire others to connect with Krishna, to love Krishna. All of us can attain perfection if we just follow that spirit sincerely. Srila Prabhupada saw that possibility in all of us. And it can be realized. Maybe in a very small way. But it can be realized. That's the spirit we come together in beautiful holy places like Radhadesh. The presence of Sri Sri Radha Govinda. Association of devotees chant the names of Krishna. Thank you very much.
Ask you a question. How do we really develop that mood of seeing the potential in everyone, instead of seeing the boundary designations?
Please answer your question.
No, I'm asking you, Mars. Let me ask you another question then. How do we actually keep our discernment? Because we do need to make choices in the world. And yet, how do we avoid being judgmental? Because in the material world, we think this is a saint and this is a dacoit. And sometimes we need to make those judgments, especially if we meet tigers. So how do we actually operate in the world, keep our discernment, and yet not be judgmental? Especially when we see sometimes there are so many problems, not just outside of ISKCON, but sometimes in ISKCON, and there may be a tendency for us to become judgmental on one hand, or on the other hand, we just don't see the problems and see everything is fine. So personally I find this difficult, to maintain proper discernment and not become judgmental. I wonder if you could answer that for me.
You are so practical. Unless we apply teachings in a practical way, then realization can never take place. Jnana vijnana kirtana. It means it explains there's theoretical knowledge and it's realized knowledge. And actually the only purpose of theoretical knowledge is self-realization. We have a map that shows us the way to Amsterdam. And we sit here looking at the map, studying the map, memorizing every road, every crossing, the terrain. And we tell everybody all about it. We just sit here. What is this? Our purpose is to get us there. Our purpose of all this is wisdom and knowledge, philosophy, and logic is to actually apply to our life. When we apply it to our life in a practical way, we grow in realization and wisdom. So wisdom really is how to apply theoretical knowledge in a favorable way that will bring about realization. And on one hand, we read about Lord Nityananda, he never discriminated. But at the same time, the whole purpose of philosophy is to teach us to discriminate. Where is the balance? Mahatsevam dvoram aburvam okhestam advoram yoshitasam visamham. Srimad Bhagavatam tells us that when you associate with mahats, saintly people, that association opens the doors to the perfection of liberation. And when we associate too intimately with people who are proud and envious and selfish, that association opens the doors to perpetual ignorance. So it's very important. And you see, he describes devotional service in the mode of ignorance, devotional service in the mode of passion, devotional service in the mode of goodness, and transcendental. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he cites Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur,
after explaining the qualities of each. A person who does devotional service, that is chanting Krishna's name, they may be doing puja for the deities of Krishna, but they're envious, they're arrogant, they're cruel. That's devotional service in order. Emotional service and more passion is what we really want out of it is prestige, position, power, profits. And Prabhupada tells us himself, and quotes from the great acharyas, that we should be very careful not to mix too intimately with devotees of the most passion and ignorance. The devotional service in the Lord of goodness means we're doing it without attachment to anything. And transcendental devotional service means we're genuinely doing it because we want to please Krishna without our own ulterior motives. So as far as possible, when we understand the teachings, we are given a vision by which we can analyze. And Rupa Goswami tells the symptoms of surrender. The first two are to accept what's favorable for devotional service and reject what's unfavorable. So we have to be very intelligent this way. And we have to be very sincere. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha. And Prabhupada explains, for devotees in the mode of passion and ignorance, we should offer all respects and obeisances to them, but we should keep a little distance. And we should really, really seek the association of those who inspire us in pure devotions. So it's not our position to disrespect anyone. It's not our position to judge anyone. But it is our position to evaluate what's actually favorable for ourselves. If somebody's criticizing others, somebody's finding enjoyment, fault-finding, politics, in various sinful activities, we could be a friend, we could offer respects to the devotees. There's a lot of marks on the moon, but still, the moon is there. They're devotees, so we can respect. But we're not going to gain much from that. We're going to gain and we're going to be empowered and we're going to be able, if we associate too much with that energy, it's going to bring us into that energy. So if we really want to help those people and anyone else, we have to help ourselves first. Actually, the Prabhupada said, if you want to save people who are drowning, you have to learn how to swim. Good sentiments are actually good sentiments are realized when we're practical. So this morning Srila Prabhupada was writing about the way materialistic people do things. So obviously he's warning us against doing those things with materialistic people. But at the same time, he doesn't say we should hate them. We should understand that they're part and parcel of Krishna. Prabhupada said when you become spiritually advanced, you will love the soul in the tiger. You'll love the tiger, but you won't embrace the tiger. Because that will be the end. So discrimination is important, but it should not be judgmental discrimination. When a doctor sees, you go to see a doctor, and the doctor says, "You have malaria." And you say, "Why are you criticizing me?"
So why are you criticizing?
So we give it the medicine so you feel better.
So sure, the problem sometimes say people are rascals and everything. But he didn't say it out of hate, out of judgment. He was saying to warn us not to fall into certain traps. They are compassion. You know, when a mother sees a child running in front of cars in the street playing at the ball, she'll say, "You rascal, why are you criticizing me?" That's what I saw of you. There you go.
Arriba.
Arriba.
Patience. It's like the doctor. He diagnoses you with malaria. And he gives you a pill. And 5 minutes later, he says, "Why do I still have a fever?" You have to take the pill for the next 10 days. And then 2 days later, "What's happening? Why? I still have a fever." This fever of material ego, it's been a chronic, inseparable part of our consciousness for so long. Ene chipa shadi maya na shiva rodavi harinano maha mantra antuni magi. Giving up Thakur, thanks Lord Chaitanya. And I have come with the medicine of the holy name that will cure you of all this material disease and distress and egoism and selfishness and suffering. But medicine, sometimes it takes time. You know, if you go to an Ayurvedic doctor, they'll usually give you medicine and they might even take it for a couple of years. Because they're not just dealing with symptoms. Symptomatic relief just kind of makes you, it kind of distracts your body away from the cause. It doesn't cure the disease usually. Just distracts you from the suffering of the symptoms. That stuff can be somewhat instant, but to actually go to the root to cure it, that may take time. Yes? We require faith that it's the right physician, it's the right medical path, it's the right medicine, and then we take it. With earnestness, with regulation, with dedication, with faith. And then we'll be cured. Manmana Prabhupat Bhakto Bhatya Jinna Namaskuru Mami Vaishishi Shaktan Te Prati Jani Priyoshine. Krishna says, always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your prayers. In this way, you will come to me without fail. This is my promise. Krishna is the absolute truth. But the absolute truth makes a promise. It's very serious. He says without fail. Well, if we just earnestly, Prabhupada said, if we're sincere and serious and we try to follow these simple instructions without ulterior motives, by Krishna's grace, Ananyach Chintayam Tomam Yejana Param Pasha, Krishna will preserve whatever we have and think will compensate what we lack. I'll just carry on with patience. Not something new. It's something that saints have been following, acharyas have been following, exhibiting, exemplifying, writing about since the beginning of time. Does that answer your question? Be enthusiastic. Follow nicely, sincerely, and be patient. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. It's not much. But Maharaj can only in one moment he attained perfection because of his total sincerity. But sometimes it takes time to get that sincere. Carry on. Everything will be alright. Krishna's there.
Please try to control the tendency.